Anyone who does not love remains in death. It is the test, the definitive test of whether we're alive. It's talking about our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, in God's family. And it links with what we were looking at last week, if you look at verse 10. This is how we know who the children of God are and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother or sister. So it isn't bleeding that shows us that we're alive. The test is, do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? When we become a Christian, God forgives our sins because of Jesus. He makes us a new creation and gives us his Spirit within us, giving us new birth and new life. We become his children, part of his family. And the sign of that is if we love one another. Verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. The message the apostles taught right from the beginning. The sign seen in the early church. People knew that they were disciples by their love. This whole passage is black and white. It's all love or hate, life and death, evil actions and loving deeds. And if we're not loving, then John says we're like Cain. Just keep a finger in there and would you turn back to Genesis chapter 4. It's on page 6 in the Pew Bibles. Chapter 4 and verse 2.5. Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions, some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked on favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. I sometimes feel a bit sorry for Cain. It seems like, for some reason, God wouldn't accept his gift. But if you look at it carefully, it says Cain gave an offering of some fruits of the soil. I wonder whether his offering was half-hearted, going through the motions, whereas Abel is giving an offering that was the best, the fat portions of some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked on favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So if you turn back to 1 John and look at verse 12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. And then it goes on to say in verse 13, do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. That's what the world is like, just like Cain, that his actions were evil and he hated those actions that are righteous. That's what the world is like. It hates. In a way, it isn't personal, but it's like a family vendetta. It is against the Lord God, against Jesus Christ and his family. But John is warning us, if we don't love one another, we are like Cain. John is making no allowance for disinterest, for disengagement, for indifference or lukewarmness. We are either in the loving camp or we're in the hating camp. So how do we know which camp we are in? Well, we know is one of the phrases of John that he's using here quite a bit. there in verse 10. This is how we know who the children of God are. And he goes on to say, not anyone who does not love his brother. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And verse 19. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. He doesn't want us to be in any doubt. It should be bleeding obvious. Once we were dead in trespasses and sin, but we've passed from death to life, as it says in verse 14. Anyone who does not love remains in death. They are left behind. So what is this love? What is it like? This love is the self-giving, self-denying, agape love given to the undeserving. The type of love shown by Jesus as he laid down his life for us. So verse 16. This then is how we know that we love. Sorry, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So says John, we should be doing the same thing. The love that Jesus demonstrated. He laid aside everything for us. He laid aside his majesty, his position. He gave up everything and took the form of a servant. He modelled that love and that service to everyone that he met. He showed that love at the Last Supper to his disciples and to his friends when he laid aside his outer clothing. He washed his disciples' feet. He showed that love when being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Such love, demonstrated through his life on earth and through his deliberate laying down his life by permitting his shedding of blood and death on the cross in our place. So says John, we should do the same in a big way, laying down our life, and perhaps in smaller practical ways that he talks about in verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in him? In Acts, the early church held everything in common. But what it's saying in verse 17 is noticing a need, seeing what a brother or sister needs, having the wherewithal to satisfy it, having the possessions, and doing something about it. It's not saying something or merely feeling warm thoughts to our brother or sister, but some kind of practical action. James says the same kind of thing. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? You might as well be dead. Most of us are quite good at hiding needs, however, and some of us are not good at noticing what someone else's needs might be. But this is now one of those things that we really need to work on, noticing the need and then doing something about it. A student was asked whether ignorance or apathy was one of the main problems in the world today. And his answer was, "I don't know and I don't care." But I wonder which is the worst for us, being oblivious to the need or knowing it and doing nothing about it. I think we have no excuse, really. We need to work at it. We need to see and need to act. Some needs are obvious. Worldwide, we know that there is poverty and persecution amongst our brothers and sisters. We can pray for those things and we can give. However, I think John's really talking about our brothers and sisters in our church fellowship and the things that we see and do locally. So sharing within our church fellowship, helping one another. Our neighbour is a member of Chipping Camden Baptist Church. At the moment, she's frail and poorly, not able to get out, not able to do much at all. But her friends and fellowship members are helping her a lot just now, bringing shopping, going round to support her, helping her in all sorts of ways, making sure that there are carers visiting. Within our fellowship, can we not do things like that for each other, offering lifts, visiting those who are alone, supporting one another? Someone else was due to preach on this passage. I haven't been chosen to preach on this because I was so good at loving my brothers and sisters. In fact, just like it says in verse 20, I feel rather guilty whenever our hearts condemn us, as it does, because I think, really, how well am I doing in this? I find my heart condemns me. I'm possibly one of those people who talks the talk but isn't so good at walking the walk. And isn't it just possible for us to delude ourselves? Verse 18, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." But yet, God loves us, he cares for us, and we are all work in progress. We know that the Lord God is greater than our hearts. He's at work within us to help us. So, I'm in need of forgiveness. I need to repent. I need to be resolved and determined to amend my life so that I can walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. I really need to be conscious that Jesus loves me, which is undeserved, to remember all that he's done for me. And we can love because he first loved us. His love is so amazing, so divine, it demands my soul, my life, my all. We should work at loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, paying attention and noticing their needs, sharing what we have in practical, caring ways with that agape, self-giving love. Look again at verses 16 and 17. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in them?